Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denomination and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
Father, we love you. Lord, we appreciate you. Let your name be lifted on high. We give you praise. We thank you for everything. We ask for your presence to take charge over this house and the wonders we experience. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us say amen. Clap your hands like a believer, church. All right. So, the theme of the conference is level up. All right. So, let's see how God help us today. Now, watch this. Nothing works in life until the mind of the man has been worked on. Because your resource tells us the kind of mind you carry. In fact, a man's identity has got nothing to do with the name he bears, but the mindset he carries. Once the enemy defiles your mindset, the enemy defiles your destiny. God will not do much until he sees that the mind has been brought forth into the realm he desires men to have. That is why Apostle Paul told them that, I pray that you shall have the mind of Christ. So inasmuch as Christ was God in experience, one thing that gave him the power to work was the fact he worked on his mindset. Watch me. If your mind is different from whatever the scripture provides, you bring about limitation to human destiny. I'm telling you, friends. I want you to know that when God brings a man into the kingdom life experience, he leaves your mindset to your own experience. In other words, he wants you to do what is best for you so you don't blame for the process you command. Am I communicating, church? So sometimes we are more into what God will give us, forgetting that the greatest miracle a man can have is to become what you pray to God for. You didn't hear me? Watch me. If God desires in giving people things and not bringing men into height, you realize that at some point in time, you cannot become a son that is word of manifestation. Help me with the sound. Oh, yeah. Am I complicating, church? You see, watch me. If God does for you all that you pray to God for, without God not helping you understand the dimension of becoming what you pray for, you will bring about limitations to this experience. Because people that must manifest must become. Oh, am I communicating, church? That is why God intensifies in people having the renowned mindset so he can do much with them. Am I communicating, church? It's sad how in our charismatic world today, we are so much into the fire culture, as in we getting to see the revival. But revival cannot be complete without a changed mindset. You didn't hear me say? Oh, God is good. So whenever we teach God's word, the idea is to bring it to God himself. Watch me. You are not a human being. You are a soul. Have it in mind. You are a soul that has been sent forth by God to have that human experience. In other words, you must be so spiritual that the physical realm appears unreal to you. You will learn tonight. I blessed. I feel God here. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. God bless somebody today. When God says level up, what does God mean when he says that? Yes, sir.
Revelation chapter 4, the verse number 1.
Yes, sir.
After these things, I look, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here.
Come up here.
And I will show you things which must take place after this.
My God.
Immediately, I was in the spirit.
No, I'll be glad if you could just stay back. Just one for me. Just one for me. Okay, right. So please do the verse again for me, sir. Okay.
Revelation chapter 4, the verse number 1.
Yes, sir.
After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.
Thank you. Now watch this. Tonight will be very deep, and it's my prayer that you would have your understanding well opened. Now watch me. For a very long time, I believe, and I stand to be corrected, that most believers have been taught to pray seeking for things. And we have this belief that because God is all-loving and all-knowing, it is His responsibility to give us the things we pray to God for. Many believers have not put into consideration the will of God when praying to God for things. Rather, they seek for self-comfort. I repeat. We've taught people to believe that because prayer is all-powerful, you must tell the Lord what you want, and it's God's responsibility to give us what we deserve, neglecting God's will. Now watch me. I want you to know that inasmuch as prayer is all-powerful, God responds to the need of a man when a man's need is in alignment with His will for our life. So if God is to give us the things we pray to God for, and the things we are asking God for are not in alignment with His will, have it in mind that automatically the devil becomes the foundation. Because spirits won't operate until there is a will. The will that you perceive as a choice is God's life. No deity has the power to function until they see a will. So when I pray to God, seeking for answers, and the things I pray to God for are not in alignment with God's original purpose for me, I'm only asking God to back what the enemy has started. Because nothing has the power to function in my life until a spirit finds life in me. So for instance, I stand in prayer and I'm seeking for financial breakthrough. Before the Lord predisposes upon my life financial breakthrough, God needs to check if the things I'm praying to God for are in alignment with His plan for my life. Because before I pray, there has to be the life of a spirit at work in me. So when I demand, things can happen to me. You think prayer is in words, but according to God, prayer is a journey. Oh no, more shavalamantes. In other words, you change locations when people stand in prayer. Am I communicating, church? So when people say that God has failed them because God didn't answer them, the question is, did you pray in alignment to His will? Talk to me, somebody. Because what God calls a testimony to you, you call it the arrival of your answered prayer. But to God, what He calls testimonies, come up here. Do you know why? Because when people lack the patterns in reflecting in many ways what God has done for them, they become cowards in the face of war. You will learn tonight. Watch me. For a very long time, we have this perception that I should see God's love based on the arrival of the testimony. Where God says the arrival of the love you have for me as God is how high you have come. You didn't hear me? Watch me. If you believe that God is good for what He does, you will call the enemy good. From the rising of the sun, oh yeah, to the setting of the same, we sing your name is to be hallowed. Wave your hands and call them and say, ah. Watch this. If you want to call somebody good for what they do, you will be wrong. Because being good is not an act. Being good is an identity. So if you would want to be loved by God so that He gives you all you want, that is not God's goodness. You didn't hear me, church? Because God will not give you what is good alone. He gives you what is godly. Because the purpose of whatever miracle you receive must make a man like a God. So your testimony might be centered on what God must give you, where God says, rise up and come up hither. All because you are created in a dimension that makes you God over the earth. You didn't hear me, church? Watch me. No human being was created by God to have their confidence based on physical experiences. In other words, if I am happy for what I have, I've lost. Do you know why? Because anything that time can take should not make me proud. So somebody is proud because of a car. When angels, you see, watch me. Watch me. You see, we are so perverse, minister, that somebody would base their pride on what they have. When you were not the first having that same thing. Oh, you didn't hear me. Doctor, we tell people to live life by looking forward. Whereas the root of life began from yesterday. You didn't hear me. So if I want to be proud for what I have, when Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, I should check my wisdom level. Because anything happening to me has happened before. Am I communicating? We haven't begun to get church. I want you to know that when God says people should level up, it has got nothing to do with them receiving answers to their petition by coming into height in the spirit. Oh, yeah. If God says level up, it goes beyond just physical testimonies, but people rising into height in the spirit, so God can depend on them to do something. Listen to me carefully well. Mary was a virgin in a poor village where nobody knew about her, yet revival was echoing in the nations to come. And God says, I need a pulpit, but the pulpit should not have a human hand, it should have a human stomach. And the womb of Mary became the pulpit that Jesus could preach on. Can you imagine that God lived in the womb for 9 months, and the human being that carried God did not sin for 9 months? So the God that lived as a holy God in the womb of a lady came from the womb of a lady as a holy God, all because somebody was holy. Ladies and gentlemen, if God must give you and God does not make you, your faith will be based on what he gives and what he makes. Am I teaching you? Apostle, let me say this to you. Study your scriptures well. Every testimony God gave about mankind was never about what he gave, but what they discovered. You didn't hear me. Study the book of Hebrews 11, Apostle Yahweh. Every testimony that God gave about his patriarchs, Abraham, Noah, Isaac, it was never about what he gave them. Rather, what they discovered. We didn't know what faith was until Abraham appeared. So God had to encapsulate the dimension of faith in the name Abraham. So when you call Abraham's name on earth, you would think you are calling the name of a patriarch, but in heaven you are calling faith. Okay, let me break it down for you. The Bible says there was a rich man and a poor man. The poor man was called Lazarus. He died. The Bible didn't say he went to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom, Abraham's department, Abraham's house. My question is this. Why would God not entrust into the hand of any angel in heaven the name of a department apart from Abraham, a mortal man? The Bible didn't say Abraham was 100 when he met God. He was 75. Now, in our normal generation at 75, you should be saying goodbye to your children. But at 75, somebody establishes a kingdom in heaven, and God says, not even angel Gabriel has the right to call himself the one who owns this place. All because God says through his life, he discovered that faith is the potent force of reaching to God. So if God says level up, it means come into a realm in the spirit. Whereby your conviction about God is never about what he can give you, what he can make of you. Please, am I communicating, church? Please, hear me well. You see, can I preach today? Watch me. God's definition for man has got nothing to do with the blood that goes through your veins. If God calls you a man, Apostle Mike, his definition for the word man is the one that carries God. Not the one that has blood. Because when God called Adam man, remember, in a realm where God resides, flesh cannot stay there. So if God should call you a mortal man in the heavenly, he has lost power as God. Because your flesh must die when you see him. Yet, the Bible says, Adam lived every day beholding the glory. Until whatever he showcased was God himself. Does it make sense? God called him man because he carried God. If God should call you a man, it's because you carry a dimension of God that your creation has not discovered yet. So God says a man ought to pray not to faint. In other words, if people are spiritual indeed, who carries God? They pray as people. Am I communicating, church? Talk to me somebody. If God must give you what you pray to God for as a proof of his love for you, the enemy can result in giving you answers as though God has said so. Because a proof of God's love is not gift but covenant. Am I communicating? Watch this. Oh, are you blessed? Oh. Oh. Lord, help me. Are you blessed? Oh, are you blessed? The Bible says that Moses lived in the house of Pharaoh for 40 years. And when he turned 40, it appeared in his heart that he was not an Egyptian, but an Israelite. The Bible never said that somebody told him he was an Israeli. By divine inspiration, he knew that, no, I don't belong here. After 40 years. Hear this. God had to start working with him so he has a deeper understanding of whoever he is. Now watch this. Watch this. It was at 40 that God says you are now starting life. So if I want to rate my age as a mature person, in the realm of eternity, I'm wrong. Because God does not measure age based on how old I've grown in the physical world, but how much I've grown in him. You didn't hear me? It was at 40 that somebody became a deliverer. So if you want to say you are wise because you're 55 and destiny is not aware of your presence, you are not old. So many people are celebrating birthdays and angels are unaware of them. So you are thanking God and you are sharing cake. You are taking pictures everywhere. The Lord, thank you for adding something to my age. And God says, we are unaware we are even alive. Because what you call age, you call it number. What you call, what we call age by encounters. We call age by discoveries. So if you claim you are old for the age you have, and we can't see what your life has discovered, we wonder who you are as a person. Talk to me, somebody. So Jesus at 12 is speaking to elders. And they say, how come you are this young and you are saying things that are deeper than your age? He made them know that 12 is only a number that will guard your conscience. But where I come from, 12 means government. Helimantai. We don't have time, so I'm cutting things short. Apostle, watch me. If you want to measure your weight, your success, your worth, your value in God for what you have, thank you, sir, for what you have and not for who you've become, God will ask you, who are you? Am I communicating, church? Somebody say, level up. So this is God telling John the Revelator that you have been given the grace and the chance to see the third heavens. Yet, there are more rooms to come up here. Because you feel that once a man accesses heaven, he has gotten to the apex of his encounter. And God says, even here in heaven, there are more rooms to come up. Huh? If what you pray to God for made you comfortable, that miracle is a demon, not God. Do you know why? Because real miracles must bet hunger, not comfort. You didn't hear me. Can I repeat it here? Every encounter that comes from the Lord must give a man hunger. Because hunger is a proof a man has life. If you want to check how sick you are, we check if you can either eat or not eat. So if you are not yearning to have more, it means you are sick. So if I claim God has been good to me because of what he gave, and then I plateau, I may not want it to go higher in God. He says, that miracle has killed me. Some people have this perception that comfort must come from the Lord, whereas comfort is actually a voice from the enemy. Do you know why? Because where God resides, there's no comfort, there's fire. So when you are seeing danger, God is seeing progress. When you are seeing death, God is seeing life. When you are seeing failure, God is seeing success. Because nothing dies when there is power, and nothing dies when there's purpose. So the enemy will want to change your mindset to believe that things must be okay to see God. Lift your hands above your head. I want to speak over your life that if people must soar higher, they must forget the pleasure and focus on the purpose, because life is bigger than time. You didn't hear me. God is looking for men and women who say, man of God, enough of this level. I need to soar higher than this level, because God wants me to come up here. You are a song minister in the house. We know your songs have gone viral, but there are rooms to come up here. Man of God, we know you are a preacher, but there are rooms to come up here. If Apostle Paul can write a message in the past, and the message is relevant in today's world, there are more rooms to come up here. Ladies and gentlemen, can I speak to you? What makes your church a great church is not the number you have, but the sons you have raised. Jesus did not come to create a church, he came to lift up sons. Ladies and gentlemen, can I speak over your life? Lift your hands above your head. God is looking for a remnant that will say, I'm tired of this level, I am going higher. Scream and say, level up.
Oh,
am I preaching here? Bishop. Watch me. What God defines as life is the level of glory you emanate. If God says Pastor Esmond has life, it means what gives him life is the glory he has. If God says our prophetess Deborah Dallin has life, it is not because she has children. They are important. But God defines that life based on the glory she carries. Because your life was created to serve as God's signature. So Apostle Paul says you are living epistle. Epistle means letter. In other words, if I read Timothy, and I don't understand Timothy, I should look at your life, and your life will tell me what Timothy is. Oh, am I teaching here? Okay, hear this. I'm still looking at Abraham at 75. And God is asking himself, what do I do to bring about salvation upon the earth? And God says, I found a man who is serving idols. Now, I wonder what gave God confidence that an idol worshiper would not mistake his voice as the voice of the devil. The idol is a spirit and it can talk to. So what is giving God the confidence that when he speaks, Abraham will not say, this is the demon from my father's house. Now, the voice did not come with a promise. It came with a command. Leave your father's house. At 75, you should ask yourself, who is this person speaking to me? And then you tell your wife, my wife, pack your things. As you are leaving here, we'll not come back again. Listen to this. He said, I'm taking to a place unknown. Now, how do you want to move out without a GPS? Now, look at Dubai now. 50 years ago, it was a complete desert. So just check 4,000 years ago before Christ came to being. No light, no food, no hope, no assurance, no nothing. And he says, I feel that the voice I've heard is God's voice. You now serve this voice for 25 years. And after 25 years, the voice says, I gave you a child, but give the child back to me. The voice didn't consider how you've left your family behind. You didn't tell your parents where you were going to. You told them, destiny is calling my name, and you've answered that name. And after 25 years, the voice can't show you mercy by telling you, you've been faithful by leaving your father's house. He says, no. In order for you to become my friend, go and sacrifice your son. You are wondering why till date, the world had to, God had to allow the world come through Abraham's life. I'll show you today. Do you know that it was spoken in time that the King of Kings will send his only beloved son to come and die for you and I? Now, this is Abraham standing in front of his son on the altar. And he wants to kill a son for the voice that told him, leave your father's house. If that voice was genuine, the voice should care about a man's feeling. And the voice is telling you to kill a child when the same voice says, thou shalt not murder. Now, you say if God is true, his word should not contradict. But the same law says, don't kill. And it says, now kill. The same God says, thou shalt not murder. And God says, now place your son on the altar and kill. Now, when Abraham took the knife to kill the son, angels stood up. Do you know why? Because they saw that a man has leveled up in the spirit to do what only God can do. They knew that God will sacrifice his only begotten son. So for Abraham to catch the revelation that I am living Christianity in experience, it is God, come up here, lift your hands above your head. You are about to shock your generation, I'm telling you. People will ask you, where did you come from? And you tell them, God has been the person lifting me up. Lift your hands above your head. I speak over your life. I speak over your destiny. I speak over your career. God is changing your story. Somebody say, level up. Oh, am I preaching here? Oh, are you blessed? Oh, are you blessed? Apostle, this is Esther getting married to a king. Do you know the honor that comes in marrying a king? You were brought into a land as a slave girl. And from nowhere you were exalted as a queen mother. And your uncle is telling you that the people find out you're a Jew, they'll kill you too. You're like, but I'm close to the king. I can't tell the king what I want to become his wife. Rabbi, she says, let me pray and hear from the Lord so that when I speak to the king, he will listen to me. Huh? Sometimes when you see that certain dimensions in life are not before people, check their character. Do you know why? Because your character is stronger than prophecy. Prophecy is what God sees. Character is what you see. You didn't hear me? Apostle, when you live your life, that life becomes a voice. You didn't hear me? So as you are doing things, you are speaking to God. Because in God's kingdom, I don't have to talk to make sense. I need to act to speak. That is why you enter into heaven and you see the most potent man wearing a normal sackcloth, which stands for humility. They didn't have to speak. Their action became their voice. Esther, you can tell the king what you want. And he says, let me pray about it first. Now, you see, she didn't know that she became the tool that God was using to bring about the future revival. In what sense? Vashti was the first wife. Remember that God's purpose was to save the Jews. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. Vashti felt, I'm too beautiful. So no matter what I do, you can't reject me. The Vashti was the Jew. The Jew feel they have God's covenant. So no matter what happens, God can't forget about them. And God says, go into the streets, forget everybody, and bring the ones you see which are the Gentiles, which is called the Esther. Esther, which are the Gentiles, enter into the palace. Remember, the king is Jesus himself. And he says, I've forgotten about the people I had love for because they denied my access. But I've shown you love. But hear this. He says, do as you have been told. If not, you will live the same way the first Jew, Vashti, also left. Now hear this. At a point in time, Esther became so comfortable that she didn't see the need to pray again. Watch this. Mordecai says, they did find out that you were Jew. You'll be killed also. Mordecai is standing at the Holy Ghost, who is speaking to the church, that forget, some time ago it was the Jew, now you are the Gentile. Watch me. If God wants men to level up, he doesn't give them things, he gives them himself. Anything God doesn't want to give us, we don't want. Because a gift can either stand for a lift or a shift. Anywhere God doesn't want us to go, we don't want to go. I've been telling my people that success is not what you do, but who you become. Success is not what you receive, but who you become. I wish I had time, Apostle. Can we tell the church that the testimony God gave about the life of Abel was only after the man died and his blood spoke, and God says he's a righteous man? Hear this. Just imagine I come to church with an offering in my hand, Apostle. And then God will not look at my offering to save my life. God now watches my brother to kill me. And he didn't even act. He made my blood go speak to him that, can't you see I have died? And he says, you've been made faithful. Huh? Sometimes the greatest testimony God can ever give a man will not be about what he gave you when you prayed, but what he made you become. Am I teaching here? Apostle Paul is fighting believers. He gets to Jerusalem and kills believers. When the Bible says Jerusalem will become the home of salvation, and the integrity of God could not preserve the borders of Jerusalem. When he got to Damascus, Christ had to appear and say, why do you persecute me? Why? He says, but I thought I was doing the right thing. The Bible says the glory made him blind. And he says, I'm Jesus. I can heal the sick. But I respect territory commands. The person called Ananias owns the city. When he prays, I'll listen to him. In other words, even though people saw Damascus as a town, to God it was a human being. Says, I know that I've made you blind because you can't see me and be okay. But in order for you to have your eyes opened, go to the man called Ananias. You think Damascus was a town. In heaven, it was a person. Because somebody prayed, guided the portal. And God says, I will dare not do anything until the man says so. Ah. Can I teach you? Your greatest testimonies will come from pain. Did you hear me? And sometimes the pain won't make you comfortable. It will make you very uncomfortable. And he will tell you that he wants you to uphold the same integrity as a believer in pain. Do you know why? Because what you can't bear in pain, you can't bear in pleasure. Oh, G-Tech. Apostle, Americans are clapping that God has given them the wisdom to be advanced in knowledge. Oh, you claim you're advanced in knowledge for the things you're producing. But if Jesus Christ will come in the days where we claim they had no knowledge, that should tell you how advanced they were. Because spirits come pursuant to the sea life. So for Christ to have come in those days and for their messages to remain relevant to date, they were more advanced than us. In our generation, we are perverse. We can't see life. So the greatest messages of Paul came in the prison. You didn't hear me? You want to brag you have a car when Philip the evangelist could fly. Oh, you didn't hear me? You are bragging you have a car when somebody could fly. You didn't hear me? So when believers are bragging for the car they have, spirits are laughing at them. Because our transportation is the wind. Oh, so a man could close the heavens for 3 years and God will neglect the cry of the widow in the town. God will neglect the cry of the widow in the town and say, because a man prayed. Because the first of Israel was gathered by a man called Elijah. And God says, I should feed you because you are my tool of expression. So leave here, go to this river, and I'll feed you every blessed day. Watch me. Watch me. If someone tells you that you only have one life, tell them think twice. Do you know why? Because people don't die. We transit into our realm of originality. And that life you live here on earth becomes what you enjoy in heaven. Life is not one. Life is forever. I was invited some time back to preach for, speak to some pastors. And then, in our conversation, they kept asking me, you are so young, and you're commanding so much excellence around the globe. What inspires you? What is giving you the hope to stand through? We are so much impressed. And I said, the things you are telling me, I don't even know of them. Do you know why? Because excellent men don't stay what they've achieved. They move on. They are only thankful because they ought to be thoughtful. But they cannot be comfortable. If not, they'll be miserable. You are celebrating success because of what you have. When a man's greatest honor was a crown of life. Ah! Come up hither, John. I see a lot of people hopping from one program to program. Don't get me wrong, it's important, it's very powerful. But you see, what we want to see after every encounter is the discovery of pattern God gives you. You didn't hear me? Minister, tell the church that whenever we gather as the ecclesia, God is seeing the 12 tribes of Jacob. You didn't hear me? We may be over 200 in a room, but the integrity of Jesus has compartmentalized us into 12 tribes. In other words, when Minister Deborah says people should lift up their hands, we may lift up our hands, but according to our tribe in the spirit, Levites have lifted their hands. You didn't hear me? When others lift up their hands, God will see Benjamins. You didn't hear me? So when we begin to pray, some will begin to catch the now word. And you'll be like, why are you hearing things only in the now? Because where they belong in the spirit, they are called Issachars. They can tell time. You hear me? When others lift up their hands, you will see them sing praise. Why are you praying? But you keep singing songs because we are connected to Judah. Judah means praise. Why do you always dream? And when you dream, it comes to pass. Your dreams are so powerful because in the spirit, we belong to Joseph. You didn't hear me? Even Jesus Christ did not neglect the pattern of the Israel. He called himself the son that came from the tribe of Judah. Lift your hands above your head. I came to stir up a fire in the house that God will cause a man to level up. Somebody say glory. No. Abazo. When people organize conferences for men and women in the name of helping them get married to their spouses, tell them that love is not a feeling. Tell them love is covenant. You didn't hear me? You don't choose who you want to marry. Destiny chooses for you. Oh. Helema Kopante. Oh, well, you are a Jacob and you were asked by Laban to work for 7 years because of Rachel. And God says, yes, I know you love Rachel, but you are a kingdom and every kingdom needs a priest. So if I give you Rachel, Rachel can only give you two people, the dreamer and then the person that can hold up your hands. But these two can't uphold my spirit. Want a big presence. He says, I'll give you somebody you don't love. She's called Leah. Because her womb is crystallized to bring about priests. Watch me. Tell the people that when they go for what they feel, their feeling will be sacrificed for their future. Say, level up. Am I communicating, church? Or are you blessed? So you realize that everything about God's life in the life of the patriarchs were progressive. They were not stagnant. They had to increase from glory to glory. You see, it's sad enough that in our generation today, we can't give God the best of his definition as he wants. All because people have plateaued with physical things. Such a pity when people are happy for what they have. Can I end with this? There are two lives everybody has. Please hear this. There are two lives everybody has. You have the physical life and the destiny life. The physical life is what you decide. The destiny life is what God decides. When you go by the dictates of your emotions, you are living a physical life. So when people tell you, I did this because I felt like God is in pain. Because feelings are tools of destruction. An emotional man has no covenant. Because your feeling can be toyed with. In the realm where we come from, sons have died to feelings. We can die and be in pain and still smile because I've beheld the glory. Stephen was stoned to death. In the face of death, he saw Christ and began to smile. The feeling died. The pleasure died because of the producing glory. Hear me. If all you have today in life came because of what you felt like having, think twice. It is possible for a man to succeed in the wrong thing and still be joyful. A man's greatest pain in life is not failure, but succeeding in the wrong thing. Because what you call failure, God defines it as first attempt in learning. You didn't hear me? Huh? This is penetrating your heart so songs can come out from your belly. Because you are that tree created to give for life. Watch me. Thank God you succeeded in your degree. But you are not your degree. Anything that the king did not command, he has no hand in that. You don't choose what you want to be like. Destiny must align your purpose. You didn't hear me. Apostle, I see a lot of young pastors wanting to do exploits. And some of them have the feeling that when I probably cut my messages and put them on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram, I may have some form of people supporting me. And when they have likes, they assume that, I'm gaining popularity. Talk to me, Judge. Jesus called John the Baptist the greatest prophet. Yet, the Bible never recorded any miracle he performed. So, what made him great? For Jesus to call John the Baptist the great. When in some time to come, John the Baptist would doubt if Jesus was indeed God. What did God see? You want to be popular and God seek for relevance. Popularity comes when men applaud. Relevance comes when God says, you are speaking to me. Because we first minister to spirit before we speak to men. Oh. The Jesus you are presenting to your generation is a fake Jesus. It's the Jesus you honor for what he gives. For what he does. Huh? The best way to preach a message is to live the life of the king. Moses didn't know his face glittered like gold. Because he beheld the glory. Your garment should be glorious. When we speak as God's people, what our message should be filled with is our encounters. Elemante vele Moses. Apostle Paul could tell the church, that what I want to write as a law, I have not heard in my ears. But as somebody with test of character, I see that this will be so. Look at me. It was a woman that repented before the Lord that gave God a message of grace. The woman committed fornication. She came crying. The same king that gave a law to the Israelites to stone any woman that commit adultery cried, and God says, let me change the law. The law is not what is written, but who has said it. Destiny life is what God says. Hey, every human being you meet is either a representation or a continuation of a pattern. Who are you? For Paul to choose death over life, should tell you something. Paul says, even though I'm so gifted in every ramification, I still press towards the high calling. Can I say this to you, friends? You see, if you fast because you have a problem, God doubts the potency of the fasting. Oh, talk to me, somebody. I wonder how a believer can stay the whole year and not fast. You're of the flesh. Let me give you three things to do to level up. I bless already. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, help us. I bless indeed. Why is you? Somebody say glory. I bless indeed. Apostle, come. Pastor Esmond, come. So this is our big man of God here. Somebody say glory. Please watch this. When you get this scenario, you've gotten the message. Anytime God looks at our brother from on high, what God wants to know about the man's life is the secret in the kingdom he has discovered. Because not everything in the kingdom can be taught, some are caught. Do you know King David? He was so powerful that he lived above his generation. In what sense? When everybody thought that God takes honor and pleasure in the sacrifice of bulls, cattle, and oxen, he says God will never reject a broken heart and a contrite spirit. How? There was no prophet to tell David that God desires in a broken heart. Because God told him that just as the way you see people sacrifice cattle, bulls, and cows before me, Lord, look at how they struggle for their life when you are killing them. So the way the animals struggle to even give up their life, God says, break your heart before me. So David says, when it's got to do with the mystery of God asking us to repent, it goes beyond just confessing, but breaking heart before the Lord. Do you know what? It was not taught, it was caught. Your life is as powerful to the degree of the mystery you have caught upon your life. Watch me. There are many believers today, there is nothing holding them. They do what they want. They do what they feel. They do what they think. That's why the enemy can easily disorganize your path by giving you certain things that are not godly. So if this man here should brag about what he has and not about kingdom patterns, God says you are filled in life. He may have a wife. He may have a child. All these things are products of the Lord he has breathed in the flesh. But according to kingdom what he has filled. Because when a man should enter into heaven, what will give him honor as a righteous man will not just be on the fact he lived right. Because in heaven, what you call righteousness, God calls it a filthy rag. What you call holiness, he calls it a filthy rag. He only has the power to bear that name. So when angels go before the Lord and they say, holy, holy, are you Lord? It means there is not any other name in heaven we can call you with aside, holy, holy, are you Lord? So God says, what will give you credibility in this kingdom goes beyond what you do, but what you discover. Because in this realm, you live in the realm of continuous perpetuation, in the sense that it is what you've discovered that makes you have life in God's kingdom. You are not young. You have just not discovered purpose, that's why. You are not old. Watch me. Let no one tell you that experience is the best teacher. Experiences are part of our teaching processes. It cannot be the best. The best is Holy Ghost. I bless already. Oh, Jesus, help us. Are you blessed? Oh, are you blessed? There are three things God expects our brother to do in order to level up. And if people don't have this revelation, it will be hard for God to trust them. Do you know why? Because in God's kingdom, to be trusted is a better compliment than to be loved. God loves everybody. He does not trust everybody. Those he loves, he gives them the life they deserve. Those he trusts, he gives them himself. Apostle, please give me G. Eh? Thank you, sir. Are you blessed? The first thing my brother must do in order to level up, hear this, is to have interest in whatever God says. He cannot choose which aspect of God's instruction he must follow and unfollow. When he chooses the instructions from the Holy Ghost and allows the flesh convince him to disbelieve in other things, he becomes short-circuited in power and in knowledge. Because if God must build men holistically, he looks at the level you have in obeying what he says. Because in obedience, he finds trust. In obedience, he finds a sentry. In obedience, he sees hope. He sees life. So getting to choose which part of the voice you obey will make you short-circuited. Man of God, why are we still here? We have prayed all the prayers, yet you chose which of the instructions to follow. If you are following the king, you don't do what you say. You do what he says. The instructions might be bitter because it will cause you to be better. The instructions might look like God does not care about you, because the realm where he is, feeling cannot rule life. If people must level up, he will tell you, forsake everything and put your eyes on me. It happened to Jesus. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My father, why have you forsaken me? If you must become the son of Elohim, you will have to die shameful on the cross of Calvary. Jesus did not die with something covered around him. He died as a naked man on the cross of Calvary because he came to correct the mistake that Adam did. Are you aware when Adam lived in Eden, he lived as a naked man? So Apostle Paul called Jesus the second Adam. And in order for Jesus to correct the mistake that Adam made, he has to die naked. Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that it was by a tree that Adam lost his birthright? So Jesus had to die on the tree. He had to die as a cursed man in order to be called the Son of God. Sometimes you will ask yourself, what have I done to go through all this? The instruction is bigger than your life. Destiny is calling your name. Sometimes you will ask yourself, why should I go down to come up in life? Because you are a seed. If a seed does not die, it can never level up. Sometimes you will ask yourself, what have I done?
Okay, let us say,
Shantai. Pratu say, oh, Harris had time. No. If we must level up, we don't choose what to follow. We follow what he says. Oh, yes. We prefer to die in honor than to live a false life. Hella can't. Oh. No. So can't God find faithful men again? We speak of revival. And the only revival we see is how people fall. They stand up and go back to sin. Oh. 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 So the 12 disciples walked with Jesus. And they asked them, what do men say that I am? And they all were calling God a different name. Some said, you are Elijah. He says, I've fed you for 3 years. And you don't know who I am. That is the testimony of many believers. We call God names based on what people say he is, not because of our personal encounters. If the God you know is the God somebody said, you don't know God. Hele a co fire. Inimi katule. Hele skataya. Everybody was calling God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And God says, Moses, if you call me the God of Abraham, your encounters will not be different from the Israelites. And since you are a leader, you must have a different encounter. Call me Yahweh. When you call me Yahweh, I know Moses is the one calling my name. Call me Yahweh. When I hear that name, I know you are calling me. Call me Yahweh. Moses says, if your spirit will lead us, let us stay here. We rather die here than to walk in misdirection. Oh, people think speed is better. Speed is not as important as direction. What is God saying? What does God say? Pastor, we know people are not coming to your church. We know you want to bring powerful people that will fill up auditorium. When you bring in a seasoned preacher, you only bring in seasoned members. They'll go back again. Most of the things you want will respond to capacity and not prayer. What does God say? How does a Virgin Mary get pregnant? And you are telling the Sanhedrin that the Holy Ghost came over you. What a blasphemy. What a blasphemy. Can the Holy Ghost impregnate somebody? You are a virgin. Everybody respects you. And you have lost your respect. Do you know what it means for people to respect you? Do you know what it means when people should tie their integrity to you? And you tell us you are pregnant for an unknown spirit. Holy Ghost was not common in your era. How did a woman preach when even the pastors in the days could not tell who the Holy Ghost was? What have you followed? If you think you are loved by God because you have a gift, think twice. Because what God sees as gift is covenant. What you see as gift is called witness. You may see me stand as a prophet, but it is the dimension of God I've witnessed in time that makes me a prophet. My gift is a covenant. You know what I do.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920904 54 or email us at office@benjaminfodjo.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjo. Twitter is Senior Benjamin Fodjo. And on website is www.benjaminfojo.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. The vision, the mission, the passion.